Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite preview. We are the Dudley Boys of What Culture. I'm Adam Wilborn, joined by Michael Hanfler and Michael Zudwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Collision, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a video quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hanfler and Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight and all the fallout from AEW Dynasty.
Fallout!
I'm still on a high from Dynasty, whatever. In fact, I'm going to watch another match from it on my lunch. Oh, I'm in a good place with AEW at the minute.
You're that obsessed with seeing if Hook can really bump?
Yes, yes. Let me permit me to have one cynical, glum take on a of all episodes, a Daily's Place Dynamite. There's something about like the open air and the unique architecture of the building that just makes it feel
sunsetting in the background,
like the spiritual home of the Creative Freedom Company.
The song at the end of Sing 2 where it goes, "This song saved my life." Yeah. And I feel like that when I see Dylan. You kept me going, mate.
Just the fact that there's the open air, it just looks so unique. It's AEW in a building form, and it's beautiful. I'm absolutely not remotely looking forward to those ghastly LED barricades, particularly because with the way I expect they'll film it, given the gate, which is 2,000, but for once, it's the precedent. I've loved it when they'd had 1,100 distanced fans there.
Hard camera stage for me.
Hard camera stage.
Hard
camera stage where they've got those rows, haven't they?
Yeah.
They can film it where you can hear. You don't necessarily need to see 5,000 to think, oh, it's a hot Dynamite. Mm. Like, 1,800 will do in that particular setup, right?
We were talking to some people over WrestleMania about like bucket list stuff that we want to do. Because I was saying I'd love to go. We were talking about the Royal Rumble potentially coming to England. I was like, that's really one I want to go and see. And yeah, it was like, yes, you'd like to go to see the Royal Rumble, or you'd like to go and see.
Not anymore. I don't even like the Rumble that much, but carry on.
A big New Japan show. But for you, Daily's Place is right up there.
Daily's Place.
It was the garden before we got to go.
Yeah.
That was the tough.
The thing about New Japan now, it's too late.
Mm.
Yeah. It's too late. Like, even if I, you know, won one of my ridiculous accumulators, where I put 50 pence on 12 draws between every league, I'll go through Premier, Championship, League One, League Two, National League, and I'll do two or three draws from each and put 25 pence on it, just for, like, what if?
Yeah.
For, like, a 50 grand return. And I was like, well, Aaron Dawes, can I have $5,000 of this just to do a bucket list? It's too late for New Japan. I wouldn't even do it. Like,
did you go to the
not
eight?
Even do it.
Because that's the one for me. I think I would still like to be inside the Tokyo Dome.
I would prefer. I get the cultural significance. I would probably prefer to do a Soccer Joe. Like,
I get that.
Kenny Omega talks about the acoustics in that building. See, and obviously he had the best match ever there. And he's like, oh, this is the absolute best. But on Daily's, the problem I have tonight with that, because the tunnels look so sleek and great.
Mm.
And then you get to the ring and it's like, a bad match looks really distracting. A good match, you don't care. Mm. But because of the intimate setup, particularly, it's not going to look like Double or Nothing 2021. It's going to look like that month after, where they don't obviously get as many fans and they do a stage hard cam, that LED is going to, one, take up what will look like a quarter of the entire screen, maybe even a third with how zoomed in and intimate that camera shot is on the hard cam. And it just detracts from, and I'm not quoting Ryan Adams, but the Jacksonville skyline.
Mm.
It looks so gorgeous. And yep. You think, just put some black barricades up for one night only, please. In fact, you know what? If it was up to me, I would just get rid of the LED. I have to believe it's a Warner directive, you know that.
I remember you thought that about the red and blue lights that then finally went.
Yeah, like,
and that was when they were, like,
it was so weird. They had like 9,000 people in late 2021 in some of those buildings, and they just made it look like a takeover, and it really annoyed me. But I think it looks really ugly and glaring and distracting, and I honestly think that. Well, if you look at how it originally started, look what Double or Nothing 2019 looked like. And I know that promoters get bored of what it looks like and they sense that the fans do. I just cannot imagine it's a Tony Khan thing.
Back there this year, MGM Grand. Let's see if they can, like, we kind of experienced the end of the worst case scenario of them upscaling from the MGM Grand at the T-Mobile, and that crowd was on. We were in that crowd, and I get where the criticisms came from. It was, I don't think it was a particularly great show. I think that's why the crowd weren't so responsive.
Didn't look enough to be there at the MGM when they were there for Double or Nothing in 2019.
I think the reversion to that building is going to really help them. I agree. Yeah.
I hope so. But it's just that LED barricade. I think tonight, I think people are very excited, and rightfully so, about a Daily's Dynamite. Mm-hmm. The vibes are always right. It's invariably pretty goddamn great. I just am having a moan.
And
it's just what I do.
Remember when we walked past, you know, when you go to a live show?
I am very excited about the show tonight, though.
Yeah.
You stare, like, you might be going to get, like, a drink or look at the T-shirts, and you have to stop yourself staring through the concourse gap.
Yeah.
You want your first glimpse to be when you're actually walking up onto the thing. I remember me and Sid were walking in the T-Mobile last year, and I was doing that thing. I'm trying not to look. We're going to find our seats or whatever. So we haven't yet left the concourse. And I just went, oh my God, Sid, I think I just saw a massive stack of chips, but I didn't have my glasses on. It was a screen. It was still a cool picture, but it was like,
I told him.
I'm like, it's just a screen. Fine. Just want the chips back.
It's Double or Nothing, not that, it's like 5 weeks away, isn't it? Pretty quite a quick turnaround.
That's the new normal now.
Yeah, I suppose. Lots to look forward to. Lots of post-Dynasty stuff to talk about. The first thing we are going to talk about, though, bears no relation to Dynasty, because it's the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match between John Moxley and Powerhouse Hobbs.
Indeed. I'm really looking forward to this. There's a classic, like, really fondly remembered match that had taken place at Daly's Place. That should be the template here. Mox versus Brody Lee. The last 2 minutes of that match, still to this day, give me an indescribable high. The idea of Brody Lee rising up from that. You know how they've done a million, well, at least a million too many, really crap stunts in AEW where they've clearly fallen onto cardboard from a great height.
Yes.
Sammy Guevara, Jericho, like a few others that I'm probably missing. Like Eddie Kingston putting Jericho through that cardboard barbed wire from the ring apron. It's like, you're probably better. It's probably worse to take the kind of bump to the outside off a suplex that they do every week on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. The paradigm shift from Moxley on Brody Lee through that stage looked amazing, because all you could see was like what looked like exposed wooden ring boards.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked, was so well done as a stunt. And he thought, right, okay. And then the body language and the facial expression on Brody Lee as he rose up. And then Moxie was like, I have to chin him faster and harder than I've ever chinned anyone. And it's this whirlwind of fists. It's the best. That's the template for this match with Powerhouse Hobbs. And luckily, like, John Moxley's awesome at working, like, larger guys, because he understands the assignment. Hit them hard and hit them goddamn fast. Like, there's that match with Mr. Brody Lee. I love it. And that Texas Death from a wonderful 2021 Dynamite, where he's working Lance Archer, and you think beforehand, a last man standing under a different name. And that's the WWE thing that has plagued AEW throughout on some level.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think, it's going to be a bit slow, isn't it? No, they did it. 11 minutes of, I'm going to kill you faster and harder than you're going to attempt to kill me. And he gets Archer in a triangle choke. And I just vividly remember he gets a fork. It's like, this is like a crime. A crime, and I'm loving it, and I'm watching it. That's the template for this. He has to kill or attempt to kill Powerhouse Hobbs very, very, very quickly and stiffly. And there's form and precedent for Moxley to really deliver here. And Powerhouse Hobbs on his day is absolutely incredible. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Main event?
I would put Swerve in the main event. Okay. It's about like, I know how this works. You'll see the ratings graph, and it will start high or higher than the rest of the show. Then it'll gently dip. It's all about the degree to which it dips, because it always dips. It dips on WWE Raw and it dips on WWE SmackDown. The extent to which it dips is the story. If you've got Swerve Strickland and you've invested this much time, you put him in that main event slot. He's your main event guy.
Yeah.
So I would have this open.
I hope this is seasoned with a bit of nice AEW lore, and Will Washington has them put a little box in the corner when Powerhouse Hobbs is entering. That really great shot of Moxley and Hobbs in the empty seats of Daly's Place when Moxley's pointing at him at, this is the fucking guy, before he turned
that's
heel and joined
Team Taz. Khan thing that he probably will think of.
Drop that in there, like, yeah, hey, they were in Daly's Place. This is what Moxley actually thinks of him, regardless of the journeys they've been on ever since. This is, like, Moxley was the first guy to tell us, like, stick everything on Powerhouse Hobbs, and tonight he's going to, Powerhouse Hobbs gets to potentially pay him back by taking his title. He won't. I didn't know until we discussed this in the office this morning, this was the bail. I thought they might do a bold contenders thing here, now that Moxley is technically, I suppose, under the purview of New Japan, and have him have the champion get pinned, a rare one for Moxley to set up a title match. Moxley's going to win, forget all of that. But it doesn't mean there's not quite a lot that I think could spring forth from this. I want to believe, as much as this year doesn't need it, we're probably going to get it, the Anarchy in the Arena, Blood and Guts doubleheader. I think tonight this match kicks this all off. We get what we want out of the BCC finally just being baby faces. Will Ospreay, when this match concludes and Callis sets the dogs on Moxley, Will Ospreay should either not be there or not really want to partake. You saw him helping Brian to the back, and Callis was like, yeah, we got him. And then Ospreay's like, no, I'm concerned. That was why that finish was so great. Not because, who cares, that Brian was doing his thing again that he likes to do. It was to serve a purpose, yes, of the Ospreay babyface turn. I would like, I know it's a bit WWE, but I would like this anyway. I would like Will Ospreay to pick up the IWGP title for a second before handing it back to Moxley and just take a look at him and, like, I'm the guy, mate. Like, you're a pretender to this throne. Hands him back or whatever. And there's the first point where you're like, who sides Ospreay on here? Because this is about to become a turf war. Thank God, because the BCC just get to be good guys.
Yes.
Because the Callis family are obviously the heels.
And it's been weird that the lack of discussion on television of, what's Ospreay think about all this with the Don Callis family?
Or which side he sits on.
They're finally addressing it, at least.
That's going to drive the turn, I think. Either he says, like, I'm just going to stay out of this one, Don. Like, I've got respect for Brian now, and Moxley's the champion, and I carried that belt proudly and all the whole deal. And then that's when the Callis family turn, and he's there, like, on the babyface team.
One more thing on this, at least from me. I'm in a good mood with AEW. Always get on a high after the pay-per-views, because if it's not World's End, it's pretty goated. And Dynasty was unbelievable. So I'm just going to be in a good mood watching this, I think. And I'm going to allow myself to get lost into this, because Ghetto was, once upon a time, the most bold booker in all of wrestling. He still controls that title. He's just licensed it to Tony Khan for this night, for the show. God damn it, that Rainmaker shock was almost too good of a booking decision. Because now, when he doesn't do something bold, you think, why are you taking so long? Have you not seen the state of your promotion? He's done it twice as well. He had Kazuchika Okada on his second match from the most ill-fated excursion of all time win the belt from, of all people, Hiroshi Tanahashi, who hadn't even begun to peak in the role of Ace. AJ Styles, of whom the New Japan fans weren't really that aware. And he was so good. He was in such good form that he just, like, that turned them on side. Won his first second stint New Japan match against Okada for the belt.
Yeah, didn't know how good the work was. He still felt like an interloper because he was the TNA guy.
Right, there's two examples of that 0.1% of doubt, as opposed to the 1% we often talk about, where I'll think, you know what? Why the hell not? But that's mainly, I'm doing their work for them because I'm in a good mood.
Mm. You mentioned Swerve Strickland there. New world champion, of course. Already in a championship eliminator match against Carl Fletcher tonight.
I think he wins.
Yes.
I got a pitch. You're not going to like it.
Oh, I think I'm going to sit back for this one.
It's got Chris Jericho involved.
Hang on. I think there's a button for this, isn't there? Have it?
I think there might be. Bingo! There's Challenger. 5-week build. Chris Jericho speaks tonight. They've been known to fold their advertised things together. Swerve getting the victory over Fletcher. And Jericho's music hitting or whatever and coming out and effectively challenging him, or at very least kicking off in the misplaced belief and the meta doubling down on him. Everybody bloody hates me. They're going to bloody hate this. Not for the right reasons, mate. But like, we've talked about a lack of over and believable heels when you've just crowned a babyface world champion who we feel confident will at least make it to Wembley.
Mm.
What you don't need here in the Double or Nothing build is somebody that you can buy as a potential champion. You're looking for a challenger that can tell you a story. He will have thought elements of the Hook match with a good kind of heat when we all know it was a bad kind. We've talked about this a lot before. Like, Hook doing a suplex on Jericho is not, yeah, get him. It's you being dragged into the work.
Yeah.
That's not like, Chris Jericho has just said, suplex me. Like, we're not there. Yeah, take that. It's not a shoot. I could see Jericho being the guy with his own title. And like, you're the champion. You're not the champion. And it's like, this is the house Chris Jericho built. It's not Swerve's house, it's my house. AEW's.
Your house sits under the learning tree.
It's not happening.
Your house is in the world, and I say, f*** the world, so...
Not happening.
My belt says it, if anything.
Not happening.
We're both musicians first, wrestlers second.
It's not happening. It's not happening. I'm not.
Who's the heel out of interest?
Well, you? It's funny, right? We've got the question wrong. No, we've got a... We've got the question wrong. We have. Who's the heel? Always go for a tweener. Hangman Page.
When the heels come out to play, the tweeners ain't too far
away. The whole idea is, talk about this, Drew, when he was holding on to that veneer of, I'm still a babyface before the full-blown heel turn, lost several times on WWE television, because when they are in a new role, the crowd will take them seriously and they almost get, their win-loss record gets erased, and you, because they've had a major character development, you think, right, okay, well, I'm instructed to take them seriously, or who cares if you got like Seth Rollins in Saudi 2 weeks ago. Oh, he's new. He's a new important part of the show. Hangman Page, at some point, as foreshadowed during the segment in which the Elite, the new Elite formed, is going to have a match at some point with Okada, and he's going to be a babyface. Why not? I've enjoyed Hangman Page's performance, but he's miscast. He is miscast as this gotten to... Oh, I've gone the bad kind of mentally troubled in that and betraying myself and all the rest of it. Get one more stepped up Swerve Hangman match, and then afterwards Hangman can turn babyface. And it's like, great. We're back on board with Hangman.
Shake Swerve's hand after a loss or something.
Something like that, yeah. They can get away with beating Hangman one more time. Then in a year's time, Swerve can do the honors, and this could be this every step of the way, like the Moxley Omega thing, but hopefully a bit better.
Yeah,
I liked it, but I understand why people didn't think Mox versus Omega was this big. At every checkpoint of AEW, they will come together in some kind of way. Really enjoyed the narrative dexterity more than the actual matches, even though I'm higher on them than most. Anyway,
Kenny tearing his balls in the cage is as good as that.
Yeah, oh my God, that was awesome. Anyway, they can get away with one more Hangman loss. After Texas Death, what could they do? They've already just done a ladder match. You can't really do an explosion match indoors, and that's, you want to step on Anarchy in the Arena's dick.
Sage. I love this, by the way. Him and Page, that one more time.
Swerve
beats Fletcher, Southern Ring holding up the belt, and you see the outline of Hangman Page in the tunnel.
And I mean...
Oh, my God.
Love that. Absolutely love that. So that's a possibility. Look, I'm in a good mood with AEW. Okay, we'll square off this Jericho stuff now.
Yeah.
Basically, the Swerve thing, very quickly... I think the match has got a very good chance of being very good. I think they'll go absolutely crazy. Kyle Fletcher tweeted, I will never get close to Will Ospreay, but I'll spend my career chasing. It's like, you don't have to. You could try and do new things or whatever, but he's going to watch that, for better or worse, he is going to have watched that match at Dynasty Dynasty, Kyle Fletcher, and think, well, I have to, you know, do another Canadian Destroyer, maybe off the top turnbuckle onto the apron this time.
Yeah.
Or something. This is going to be, you know what this match is going to look like. You're going to, you know what moves are going to happen. You know the structure, you know everything, except it will hopefully be so demented.
Super JML driver.
Yeah, that, you'll, that kind of thing. You know, that's what we're talking about here. So it is going to be very good. I think night one of the rain, like properly, why the hell not? It's where the best wrestle, a bit of a shortcut to acclaim, a headline. Maybe they'll try and go for the five here. That's what that's what this match is for. That's fine for week one. And I'm looking forward to the match because you know it's going to be good. Any more of it and I'll think, let's tell some stories. But, you know, night one, that's good. On the Jericho thing, I don't think there's any overlap here. I'm in a very good mood with AEW at present. We'll see what I feel like this time tomorrow. When I'm in a bad mood with AEW, it's quite foul. And it's mostly related to Tony Khan and how he's declared himself the regulator of wrestling. It's the one-stop shop. When Cameron Grimes got released yesterday, I saw some really well-intentioned tweets of, oh, he's going to go and smash it wherever he goes. No, he's not. It's f***ing AEW or bust. If you're not in, if it's WWE, AEW or f***ing bust, and I'm serious, and it's really annoying. Deadlock Pro is, alongside Defy, the two indies that get any remote kind of play. GCW, yeah. But it's different. It's not Reseda era PWG, is it? It's not the place where people pay attention for the next rising star. You pay attention to the next rising star on Dynamite when they get parachuted in and gobbled up by the Converse immediately.
It's a tactical assault rather than a working one, I would say. If you use Matt Cardona as the example of how to get it bang right.
Yeah.
He saw that initial AEW thing as like, he wanted the job, obviously, when Cody brought him in. It's kind of a strategic misfire. It's like, I need to really actually think about this.
Yeah, but it's
that's what behooves the wrestlers now. I saw Ziggler repeatedly over WrestleMania weekend, and he was he was good.
But what's he doing?
But he's just in the mix now. Like I saw him twice in one night, then again the next night, and already it was like, well, he's just one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, not to denigrate him, he's like Speedball Mike Bailey is another one of those guys. They all offer something different, but they're going quantity over like.
But you can't get hot and it's not cool anymore.
Yeah,
you can't get hot and it's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
Nemeth dropped off the face of the earth. He's doing what used to be all the right things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll go work in indie. Check.
Yeah.
I'll go and do a gig in New Japan. Check. Doesn't work anymore. AEW's all consuming. Nemeth doing nothing, no one cares. I'm sorry.
Ali and Riddle and there was Mustafa, all these people.
Mustafa, you know, Ali has had a nightmare, I think, in terms. I feel for him. It's so hard.
The matches
don't
marry up to those vignettes at all.
WWE, AEW, or bust, I think he's miscast himself personally, Ali. But even if he was doing some really good, worthy work, it's the tree in the forest, man. No one's paying attention to anything beyond WWE, AEW, or the culture war that surrounds it. Cameron Grimes, I feel sorry for, and I am getting to something. I resent, to an extent, AEW for making it this way, because when they have a bad week, that promotion to me scans as greedy and selfish, and you had to have literally everything for yourself, didn't you? The blood, the unscripted promos, oh, we'll defend the IWGP title, we'll have the New Japan relationship, we'll do literally everything anyone's ever wanted. Tony Khan's quite greedy and impulsive. He's gobbled up every available USP, leaving no promoter any other chance, which is fine. I enjoy having the hub. He does it all faithfully and lovingly, and for the love of the game. I mean, he puts Thatcher against Danielson, Hechicero against Danielson. You know,
everybody's allowed like to bleed on the paper or something.
Yeah,
no, sort of like,
it's well intentioned, but at the same time, it's so entitled. And I am getting to the point here, right? It's well-intentioned, but if it starts to go wrong, it's really like, oh, well, no, you promised me the world, and you've taken the entire world for yourself, and you've done this. It really scans to me as greedy and entitled when AEW does something wrong. Maybe that's too philosophical about it. But what I'm driving at is, even Tony Khan, as feckless as he is, as much as he wants everything for everyone, even he has kind of told Chris Jericho, subtly or otherwise, FTW title's your speed. You're never getting close to that world title again. So it's, when I'm in a bad mood with AEW, it's because I'm in a bad mood with Tony Khan. Like the WWE adjacent stuff last year felt like a betrayal for all of those reasons I've just outlined. Even Tony Khan, with the way he is, will not say to Chris Jericho, oh yeah, have a title match, have a title program. Mm. Even the most feckless guy, who I happen to think is great, alive, great, there's no chance of a Jericho swerve thing. It would be turmoil to this brand. That this brand desperately needs to be where the best wrestle, come and get your tickets to the best wrestling matches, and the vibes are back, and we're back, guys, we're back. You cannot want to grow your tickets sales and then have the guy who ruins the vibe in a main event program. It's not happening. I will be livid. I think there would even be a backlash.
Oh, there'd be a backlash for sure.
I mean, there'd be a backlash, but one so loud
yeah.
that they'd have to just pay it off on TV.
I just feel like I can hear Jericho's pitch of, like, the next thing we need is, like, I'll do everything I can for him, Tony. I'll lay down
like
for
the,
him.
The 2017 Brock Lesnar heat, basically. Yeah, the mercenary, like...
And I'll give him everything.
Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 35. That kind of...
You'll get everything you want on the
night. It's a terrible idea for AEW as a whole. It's not a bad idea to maximize this tiny little bit of Chris Jericho. But
from his mouth, by the way, not mine.
AEW is such more important than getting something out of Chris Jericho at this point.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If not Chris Jericho, then... your other pitch was someone who also showed up on
not mine. This was Ibu of Wrestle Purists. When I get a take from somebody else, I like to credit them.
But Jack Perry's back.
He is. I think it's Hangman Page, personally, at Double or Nothing.
Good pitch, that.
But Jack Perry, it's one of those, why not strike while, you know, the iron's hot, to use a cliche. As we've mentioned before, you cannot make a career on the back of one incident with a guy who's no longer contracted with the company. He instantly feels like a pretty big deal. Why not? If this has got a short shelf life, extract the maximum from this lightning rod while it's still striking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I would be tempted to do it personally. And Ospreay is undefeated, and the caliber of competition he's wrestled is unbelievable in kayfabe and reality. If there's some weird Tony Khan, math, calc, trig. It's wrong. Ospreay's the number one contender. He can get drawn into the Anarchy in the Arena, Blood and Guts verse. For now, the Young Bucks could say, oh, Jack Perry's in action, and it's against Peter Avalon. And Jack Perry's in action. They did this.
They don't even need, they could make a really funny bit out of this. Jack Perry tore up his AEW contract. The Young Bucks could present him with a brand new one with a title shot written into it.
Yeah.
Like, you tore up because part of the New Japan bit, like, they could be so funny with it. So glad to have you, Jack. Like, it's a six-figure sum. Double or nothing, all yours, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, we're staking all our chips. We're all in on Jack Perry. Yeah. Like, they could be, massively
over. Very creative
for
this, yeah.
Yeah. You see the number Jack Perry drew on Dynamite the other week?
Yeah.
Like, guy spiked the ratings, and it was just security footage. You'd be mad not to go with him.
Yeah, they should drop like a Young Bucks make a huge announcement in a few hours' time.
Like the handshake, yeah. Something like that. Like the Tony Khan face. We're very excited to announce that Jack Perry is today re-signing with All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, or Perry could come out and beat up Swerve.
Yeah.
And pull that face.
Do his big smile.
Do the face again, or a different face.
Do the face, Jack.
And then that's like kind of the cliffhanger. And then the next week, say... Like, the Young Bucks can bollock, find security, and say, why are you escorting out of the premises a contracted AEW talent? Should have taken him off the roster page. But who gives a... you know what? Who gives a f*** about the website? Not me.
Go cry as a river of cash. Am I right, Jack? See you later, buddy.
Who else doesn't give a toss about the AEW website? AEW.
Yeah.
They never once used it. Like, there's no photos.
I love reading, like, there'll be, like, an odd... You'll find
Paige
by accident...
Paige Van Zandt's still up there, isn't she?
Yeah.
You'll find by accident,
then again,
like,
she's probably signed with a five-year deal.
Yeah.
It's really quite sweet.
Five-year deal to be on the website.
Yeah.
You'll find, like, a 2019 full-episode Dynamite review of a few thousand words that feels like it was written by Tony Khan.
Yeah.
It's like, another explosive match with the record set. Da-da-da-da. It's like, oh, bless. Like, this show was, like, 2 months old. You could theoretically keep...
Yeah.
If you're like, I'm going to review every episode.
Yes.
Tony, you're quite busy. I'm going to review every episode.
Rankings are back. I mean, we won't always show them or update them, but...
use them.
Yeah. Speaking of people crashing new champion celebrations, tonight advertised is... It sounds lovely, this. I'm a little bit nervous as well at the same time, because it's Willow Nightingale's championship celebration. The new
CEO. CEO. CEO.
Money. Money.
Look, tonight will hopefully clarify. I don't want to be confused. I want to be intrigued. I don't want to be confused by a wrestling promotion. Like, who am I cheering for? Who's the goodie? Who's the baddie? Who do I like? It's one of the reasons why Swerve Joe was... I knew who I was meant to cheer for, obviously, but I don't know. Like, a bit of clarity. A little bit of clarity. You want to have an indication that, oh, yeah, you can trust this now. Because with this whole Money arrival, the whole idea is, I don't want to boo. I want to embrace this potential game-changing star, not at the expense of Willow Nightingale, who I've really bonded with as a character over the past however long. And then you get that confusion, and then you think, do they know what I want as a viewer, as a fan? And it's just messy. You might get the strongest indication, if not proof, then evidence, that, they're pivoting. Money is the heel. Maybe that was the plan all along. I don't buy it being that sophisticated a master plan, personally. But
it's just wrestling fan promoter Tony Khan knows that Willow injured Money. We've got to do the rematch. That's how he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
All my fans know that thing happened, so that's why I've got to book this match.
Like, no one bought it as hard. Willow, what a bitch. Pillmanizing Mercedes Money's angle. So why did that do it? I don't know. But if instantly the celebrations are spoiled by Money, you're 99.9% sure that, all right, okay, Money is going to be the heel, and that's your cue. They kind of made it as plain as possible, a Dynasty/Dynasty. But at the same time, going back to the idea that Tony Khan is feckless, which he is, right? You can readily imagine him just not being able to say to this Peppermint Money collab, you've misjudged the tone and the temperature of the audience here. Mm. People are starting to resent Money. They're going to think, oh, well, we're the star act. We are the ones who've come to rescue the division to much fanfare, more fanfare than Willow Nightingale ever got. No, we're going to be the stars of the show. You don't know where the power lies in that dynamic. So it's all gone a bit wrong. Look, I'm happy for Willow Nightingale. I want some real heat here. If you're going to do it. Instant interruption, pull apart brawl, maybe. Make it clear that Money is the heel. That's the direction they have to go now, I think.
It's tricky. Like, I like that. I think the brawl is necessary at this point to find some heat in it. But the celebration, like, theoretically will include, like, Statlander and Stokely in the ring with Willow, and Mercedes interrupts and is looking at Willow, or is at least looking at Stokely, and saying, like, the lights went off.
But Stat's going to be the heel, so yes. Maybe I don't think Money is going to be
this
the heel.
Is it, right? So, like, say if she comes out and she says, I know you were behind my attack, and ultimately she was right, but not as right. She thought she was. It was a person to Willow's right that did it.
I wasn't talking to you, Willow. I was talking to you.
The problem you have then is that if Willow and Mercedes break out into a brawl, neither of them's the heel. It's Chris Statlander.
Yeah.
So it's like that attack thing, which I understand they can use as a Julia Hart thing, as a red herring because the lights went off.
Mm. And who was it? It wasn't Julia Hart.
Chris Statlander. Oh, yeah, it already feels done with because Julia Hart's lost the title now. It is clunky.
Yeah, it's
they
clunky.
They could maybe set up a, like, what am I even saying? I was going to say maybe they could set up a one trios match where Mercedes has to team with Willow and Stat against Julia plus two, but then they're just going to save her first match for the pay-per-view, aren't they?
Of course they know
that's a draw. Of course, she's not going to wrestle.
Yeah, I'm hoping beyond hope that in 3 weeks' time, I want to be able to just, hands up.
Yes.
Mm. You know what the work does, and they've plotted this really quite deftly to the point where I was very cynical about the whole thing. But I don't know. It's weird. No, is it good that I don't know what's going on?
We always come back to what we were talking about as well, of I get why they did the Money debut at Big Business in Boston, but it's been so surreal.
Booked another city.
And people are saying, oh, well, she's hit moves and taken...
There's levels
bumps.
Of clearance.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like the anticipation would have been higher if she'd have shown up, for example, tonight for the first time following Dynasty and immediately gone, Willow, you cost me a title, I'm going to cost you a title. I don't know. I don't know whether that'd be cleaner or not.
Well, at least then it's like, right, okay, let's CM Punk Derby. I can like CM Punk and still like Derby at the same time, but they've just...
My gut feeling is everything has played out the way they mapped it to. They've just misread the room a bit. Mm. I think everything is on.
Yeah.
I don't think you're seeing... them pivot, or you're not seeing them go off in different... I just think they've not quite read how this would all go down.
It's just interesting with the Statlander being the heel. The idea is they haven't just instantly thought, oh, out of the way, you Willow. We've got Money. She's the big ex-WWE star. She's obviously the babyface. I don't think they're that stupid, but it seems sometimes like they are. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know whether to be cynical about this, or they're bored of... like asking every single question that you can think of. I just want it to be cleaner.
You're trying to second guess the booking as well. We always talk about this. Yeah. You know, there's 5 weeks, you say, so there's like...
something like that,
potentially 4 or 5 weeks more of television segments that get you to that match, and the match is the only thing we know that's happening. Yeah. They're not going to just do premise establishment every week. There will be twists and turns along the way, but it's hard at the moment. It's not hard to predict what they might be. It's just I'm finding it hard to want to see them.
Mm.
I really wish we were having the match tonight.
Yeah.
I wish it was like at the pay-per-view. It was like, and the winner fights Mercedes on Dynamite. I've got like a desire to see Mercedes Money wrestle to clean this up. And instead, it's like another 5 weeks wait and the feeling of I'm worried I'm going to care less by the time we get to Vegas.
Before we get to the one women's match on this card, quick word on Toni Storm. What do you do next with Toneless Timey Storm.
Toneless Timey Storm. Who's her next challenger? I don't know. Maybe someone from Stardom?
Mm.
Potentially. Who's Anna Jay wrestling again tonight? Jog my memory.
Mina Shirakawa.
Potentially.
She
had the thing with...
she's made an impression, Shirakawa.
Mariah May.
Yeah.
So she could be theoretically be coming between the two of them.
And Mariah May's on the graphics, so that could be a hint as to the direction. They might think, like, Shirakawa is a, you know, not exactly a PPV caliber opponent yet, but if you've got the Mercedes Money debut, you can do a B-level feeling women's title match on the pape.
5 weeks is sort of optimum to just...
yeah.
Event, you know, asking too much of the viewers, are you?
So I potentially that... I think they should be doing more with Queen Aminata. Queen Aminata is unbelievable.
Looking at the rankings, I don't know why I can find this specific week in particular for April 6th. You've got Thunder Rosa at number one.
Is that the last available on the website? I told you they didn't give a toss about
it. When I go on AW rankings, what would it be? allelitewrestling.com/AW rankings that gives me the rankings from the 31st of August 2022. So I'm going
to. I told you that they don't care about the website.
No. The current power rankings see Jake Gargle on the TBS Championship, swerving our glorious tag champs, and CM Punk the number one contender. So, probably not.
So, which direction are we thinking, guys?
But for some reason, if I type AW rankings in, the next thing it gives me is the 6th of April. And I thought it could be interesting that they could lean on the rankings in terms of, right, Thunder Rosa on this rankings, Thunder Rosa number one, Willow Nightingale number two, Serena Deeb number three.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could surpass Serena Deeb and say she's, I don't know, a TBS title contender or whatever. Because number four is Mariah May. And you could just say,
By
the letter of the law, she's the next challenger.
Way too early.
Would be class. Deeb would be class. What a freebie for that would be.
Yeah.
A DB.
A DB. Serena freebie. I hate myself.
So you're supposing in the actual women's match we're getting tonight, Mina Shirakawa versus Anna Jay. You're going Shirakawa to establish.
And Anna Jay is a bi-monthly pin eater.
She lost like 2 weeks ago. Is there any reason why she's being kept in this mix? Like it's typical.
I think it's genuinely like Daily's Place sentimentality, yeah. Which I don't hate. I do not hate at all.
She's got a history in that building.
A good one as well. Yeah. A really good one. Yeah. Genuinely, she had a mint match with Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah. The tag brawl. Yeah. Christmas. Like,
For those...
She found the love of her life in Daily's Place.
Yeah.
For those unaware as well, Shirakawa was the one who kissed Mariah May on the Dynamite a couple of weeks back. So that factoring into the whole Tony Storm thing and Tony Storm being like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be really interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that as a...
Indeed.
Potential. I think
I don't know. People liked. Was it Mariah May versus Anna Jay a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think that was very good.
People liked it. I didn't think it was great, but people liked it.
This is where the shorter pay per view window can actually help. 5 weeks is a nice time to build a virtual unknown to get them as hot as they're realistically going to be to lose at a pay per view.
Yeah.
Like you can probably get something out of that.
But as I said, this is the only women's match on the card. And don't get me wrong, I was very excited for AEW Dynasty over the weekend. Very excited to drop my, I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but Tweet of the Year contender last night. Thanks to everyone for their kind words. And just want to thank my family and friends for supporting me throughout this. It's took a lot of hard work, but I'm really proud with the outcome. But Sige, we have to get to the name of the game. Before we get to the name of the game, we have to get... I'm so excited for this song. We have to get to the aim of the game. Sige, what's the aim of the game?
The aim of the game is to identify to the hour, minute, and second the first time you hear the first note of the first entrance theme for the first woman to appear for the only ever women's match on Dynamite. Let me do this to put in bold, to underscore, and to italicize just how much it feels like an obligation, an anti-passion project, an optics exercise of, we have to put bloody women's wrestling on because everyone will bloody go crazy if we don't. And that's the mentality that has driven this division since day one. And usually this match falls in the 120 to 125 minute range. And that is just something that if we can just get it to the hour, minute, and second, it'll think, right, maybe this is a pattern. Maybe this is a really formulaic, apathetic token obligation of a division, even though they are telling better stories and quietly assembling a better roster over recent months. And, you know, it's all a bit wordy, this, isn't it? There's a lot of words get said during this preamble. So we try and jingleize that AEW thought process and capture succinctly what they're going for with this women's division booking. And that jingle is, hey, guys, don't worry. When the women come out to play, the main event ain't too far away. That's the aim of the game.
Here we go.
And the name of the game is... Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Just one match. Just one match. Phil Collins.
I thought of an only
love a bit of that. Luxury pop, me.
I got a song to recommend you when we get back to the office.
Yeah.
I heard something yesterday and a little bit, I thought, like, careful what I recommend. I don't mind if it misses, but, like, I still don't just willy-nilly. But I heard something and I thought, maybe Obsidian Street, that. It's very, it's luxurious.
Only Girl in the World by Rihanna. That's another only song I managed to
shut up.
Can't use it now.
Yeah.
It's got a
you don't make me feel like I'm the only match on the show.
No more recommendations, please. This is my job. Do you want me to recommend a song for you for Wrestle Culture?
Well, you probably, yeah, because it's normally about 10 minutes before we go in and I go, Man of Mia, I'll do.
Man of Mia was incredible.
That's good. Can you keep it under 3 minutes? Minutes.
I was also walking around my house the other day and just remembered, boom, boom, boom. And I just started laughing.
Swear to God, that was on the Top of the Pops I watched this week.
Oh, was
it? They were up to the 1995 Christmas special, so it was more of a best of, and they show clips of the whole year. And like 95 was Out Here Brothers territory, really.
Yeah.
And that was the Out Here Brothers song they chose. I almost like filmed my own telly just to put it in our WhatsApp group because I was like, it's everywhere. They just brought it back. So. Do you know what? Do you know who presented Time to Play a Game? Who presented the 1995 Top of the Pops Christmas special?
Ooh.
From music and pop culture? It was a pairing to die for. They were brilliant together. 95. I've watched this year, and I think that was where it was.
I think I've gone too.
My business is in the bin, but I loved it more than any other year in its history. And pop culture was pretty fucking cool.
My brain automatically went to Jane Middlemiss.
95.
No, but you're only like a few years out in terms of Top of the Pops pop culture. Do you like
5?
You want a clue? Big clue, but it's still, there's a ring.
Van Outen.
Pardon?
Van Outen.
No, you'd be a couple of years out. They relaunched The Big Breakfast with her in the helicopter in 96. The Van Outen revolution is about to come. It was a comedian and a musician paired together for one night.
So good.
For some reason, I thought Jack D.
Oh!
No way.
Bingo! Jack D and...
someone bubbly for the juxtaposition.
Yeah. Just in a... like, what the hell are you two doing here?
Sonia.
Couldn't work. You're sort of close and then also a million miles away.
What was the description, sorry?
A musician.
Just a minute, okay.
Had an enormous, had like 3 great records for the purists. One of them was an enormous hit that year.
95.
The other stuff was good, but the one that broke big was massive.
Cool
points you would get with the Guardian sect for going to see this artist live in this year or any other year for that matter would be out the ace.
Patti Smith?
No. Circling it. I need one more guess. Jack D and
Tori Amos.
No, but that's as close as you're gonna get. I
Fiona Apple.
Oh my God, Sage, keep going. Keep going. You're get gay. a little bit more like left of centre, a little bit more idiosyncratic, but you
Kate Bush!
Keep going.
Bjork!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Jack D and Bjork, here's the Out Here Brothers. I was like, fuck.
We saw Bjork. Primavera, Portugal, 2012. And then she cancelled. She was a headliner.
How's that work?
Who replaced her?
I think they just bumped up the semi.
It's poor form that you need to like, you know, not to praise his name, but you kind of need to do the old Vince.
So it was meant to be on the main stage for 3 nights. Yeah. I, of course, went to the smaller stages and watched Beach House just as they were breaking through. But on the big stage, 2012, Primavera, Portugal, it was Suede night one. I was like, that's weird. I love Come Together.
Mm.
Night two was M83, who I love.
Yeah. They were massive there as well, weren't they?
Yeah, like, that was their run. Midnight City had just come out. And Night 3 was meant to be headlined by Bjork, but then it pissed down, and it took ages. I think, like, a few acts had to get bumped off. Either Sunday was a bit of a disaster. Who, I know, Wilco? Was it Wilco?
I'm struggling here. The website's not exactly the most ideal for navigating.
It's not as good as the Orange Evolution Wikipedia we enjoyed reading yesterday, looking at our Baltic Square gigs.
So I think they just put the headliner underneath and just bumped them up. No one, like, there was no last, because it was a last minute.
That was thingy, wasn't it? Like, Pulp wrecked the curve for that because they got that at Glastonbury that year when they had to replace the Stone Roses, and it was considered one of the best Glastonbury headline set ever.
Wilco's on there, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't actually see Wilco. I watched Shellac instead because I've got good decent music. Wilco are incredibly critically acclaimed as professional. Line.
But not, I would say, not Primavera headliners. Mm.
XX are on there as well.
They Cure. Were, 2012 was like a good
Cure time. Cure, that was Barcelona.
Ah, that's what I've got, yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
Shout out, as always, to the Panda Blair himself, Adam Blair, at Adam Wilton 4, and Jose Palomares, at The Whole 11, who always take care of the...
data.
Thank you for this sort of thing. Dr. Fed, back on top last week. 4 correct guesses on the year for you, 3 for me. Not for Sid so far, but he is the reigning champion.
So you're the Tengu?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Spiritual Eyes went on last.
Ah, I could buy them. It's the, yeah, we'll step in.
Or when did the Flame of Lips play? It's not divided by the day. I saw the Flame. I saw, oh, this was good, actually. What time this was.
I get to go first.
Yes, so you get to go first.
The Walkman. Did I see the rat live? I think I've already had, so I wasn't that bothered.
Well, in the spirit of Bjork, I'm going to guess that the crowd are going to be so quiet for this match. And I'll go with... I'll try and use just a combination of ones and nines and fives for the Out Here Brothers. 1 hour, 19 minutes and 50 seconds.
Okay.
Forgot about the game. 2 seconds, 2 seconds, 2 seconds, 2 seconds.
So last week it was a bit earlier, wasn't it? It was 1:06 last week.
So I thought, what did you say?
1 hour, 19 minutes and 50 seconds.
1:19:50.
Sidge, in his excellent introduction to this game, says it's regularly between the 1 minute, 1 hour 20 and 1 hour 25 slot, which is why I'm going 1 hour, 22 minutes and 30 seconds this week.
The gooey middle.
22:30,
please. Imagine if that cost me. Furious.
Right, let's have a think about this.
Oh, yes, I love when he goes last.
No, knock. Can't even remember the new Dynamite theme.
All I think about is that... What is the theme that we take the piss out of? Where do the people we go? Where do the people we go? Turn it around!
Motherfucking down, man! What?
Going out tonight.
Hey, yeah.
Watching Dynamite.
Wow, dude. 1 hour. Cause I think the two men's matches that they think are going to be very good will bookend the show.
I thought you were going to say two acclaimed matches. I was like, I don't even want one. I don't want one.
You know what? I'm going to go 109:56.
One final question to ask you, and a question I think you're actually looking forward to me asking for once. Michael Hamflett, who's Chuck Taylor's best friend?
It's Trent, and I'm bang into it, and I didn't see this coming, not least in 2024, when I think a lot of this is born out of loyalty that Tony Khan has to certain talents, a fan base that is, like, as we learned firsthand, it was kind of when I had to just accept that I was in the minority when it came to best friends. An act that the core fan base is deeply invested in, and thus, in my mind, subjectively, this actually does belong on the elevated platform they're going to give it tonight. Consider so much of it's happened on pre-shows. The Orange Cassidy Battle Royal elimination was a kickoff. The Trent stuff, a lot of it has been relegated to the weekend shows. This was on the pre-show to Dynasty. It's Chuck Taylor. There was an abandoned heel turn in New Japan, where Chuck just became a real bastard, real garbage person, and then they had to kill it. I can't remember the timeline. Might have been when AEW was looking like it was going to form, so he kind of just needed the best friends to be the best friends. Mm. But it was looking like it was going to be a lot of fun, and then that got
Chuck
lost.
Chuck Taylor's such a fun heel.
Yeah. Chuck and Trent as the above-it-all arseholes that is a work, apparently, is why I don't ever, like, never connected with best friends. Like, you know, some of the best acts in this business are real personalities turned up to 11. Like... What a couple of nightmares they're going to be for Orange Cassidy for a bit. Like, this is a nice bit of character development potentially for Orange Cassidy, because part of being as laid back and as chill as he is just, like, not worrying too much about life's stresses, but losing your two best friends for no other reasons than petty greed is about as bad as it gets. So I think it's not the worst thing for Orange Cassidy to have this happen in his character's life, and I'm ready for Chuck and Trent to be a couple of assholes.
More than ready for Chuck and Trent to be a couple of arseholes. One of them has got arsehole vibes. The other one has got a history of being a great arsehole heel. I think this is an amazing idea. I think it's probably overdue, but people have loved the best friends of these really... The iconic moments of AEW cannot be written without some of the best friends, really wholesome, just memorable, great stuff. Not all the time. And Chuck Taylor's obviously going to pick Trent. Every checkpoint of the best stuff that the best friends have been involved in has been quite incredible. Orange Cassidy showing that he cares about something by imploring Statlander to get up. The various plunder brawls. Like, these are clever guys who know what they're doing.
Arcade Anarchy was a minor miracle. Yeah. Remember how long that feud went on for? Incredibly there's no saving it. And then, like,
clever, creative guys. This is a checkpoint best friends moment. And that's honestly very much worth paying attention to. I've got every faith that this will be great.
You think he picks Trent?
Yeah.
I've got a pitch for you.
Imagine giving the heel, like, a numerical disadvantage right out the gate.
And, yeah. Trend.
So I got a pitch for you. It's a wider best friends picture. So maybe Rocky Romero's down there and Sue is just disapprovingly in the audience watching all this. Can't believe what her son has become. But Trent...
Chuck and Scarer.
Ooh. Well, picture this.
That's heel Chuck Taylor law, obviously.
Trent thinks he's got Chuck Taylor in the bag and he goes to hug Chuck and Chuck just stops him. And he goes into the ring and he instead embraces Orange Cassidy. And it appears, for all intents and purposes, that he's chosen Orange Cassidy.
Oh, they're going to die. They'll do that. It's wrestling.
So much so.
It's Trent. See you later, guys.
So much so that they're like, yeah, we're best friends and you're not Trent. And Trent's looking a bit sad on the ramp.
It won't be 20.
Now he's all on his own. He's on the ramp. And in the ring is his former best friend, seemingly, Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy. Rocky Romero can be there as well. And Sue even looking so disappointed in what her son has become. And they're so happy, Sige. They're so happy that they're this group. That Chuck Taylor's like, come here, you, Orange. And they hug again and he goes, get up on the old bloody shoulders, go on. Up he goes. Up he goes. And he's there and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of into this. And Sue's like, Yeah, Cassidy. And she does the Orange Cassidy sort of thumbs up thing. And then her face drops. She turns it down. An electric chair, you prick.
The upside down thumb is not even the
thumb. Yeah, I really like that. That's a load of bollocks. But the idea of Chuck Taylor going, thumbs up.
They might do that. That's great.
The Orange Cassidy lazy thumb being anti-gravity somehow is like it's theoretically lazy. It should be
full.
Yeah, but it's staying in place.
You got me. I like that. You know what? Boom. Hey. Step on the catchphrase.
Edge coming up, but baby, I'm on a roll.
Thank you.
Like all baby faces, let's celebrate this nothing event by getting on my shoulder. Yeah. Nothing has happened. Get up there, buddy. It's what we always do.
That's really out. The idea of Sue being the one to being the Triple H. finishing Chuck.
They have like a new heel van. It's all like black and the windows are all blacked out with graffiti on the side. Do-do-do-do. The worst friends are here.
I'm really looking forward to this tonight. But let us know your thoughts ahead of Dynamite tonight. And it's at What Culture WWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be back a little bit later on today to review NXT's breaking deal. But for now, this has been the Dynamite Preview. My thanks to Hamflett Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.